That was the sound last night inside a Phoenix church as around 200 asylum seekers were unfolding cots to sleep on. For months, Immigration and Customs Enforcement has been dropping off busloads of Central American migrants who've been granted temporary asylum in the U.S. at churches. But this weekend, there were more asylum seekers than volunteers had been told to expect. Jen is the executive director of a group called All Hands AZ, which is a collective of volunteers and organizers who help the asylum seekers with things like clothing, medical care, food, and transportation. She didn't want to use her last name because the group and migrants have been targeted by protesters. Sitting inside an office just off the church's sanctuary, I asked her if she knows why volunteers are suddenly getting more people than they expected.
No, actually, we don't know why. We know that the numbers have been inflated this weekend, and where we might be expecting 100 people, we're getting 200, or we're expecting that we're going to have a certain number dropped off at the church, and the next thing we know, there's a handful of people that have been left at the bus station without food, resources, language, money, and so everyone's having to scramble at the last second to get the volunteers, to get the shelter, to get what they need to help them along their last miles in the journey.
Has it been more of a scramble over the past few days than it has been over the past several weeks?
It has felt that way. We have not had the support that we need. We have some issues with a local hate group, so we are unable to get the support that we need from the community because we can't put things out on a public forum. And so we're having to keep things very private and very underground. And so what's happening is we don't have the network that we need to help these people. And with these inflated numbers, it makes everybody scramble that much more.
Have those groups been helping out in the past?
Yes, they have been helping out in the past. It seems like everybody's getting tired, if I'm honest. We've got great groups. I mean, the volunteer organizations are incredible, and everybody is so committed. But I think that the volunteer numbers that we've all tapped into in the past, I think that's what's struggling, because people are tired. You know, this has been going on since October, and it just keeps coming, 200 people a day. I mean, that's a lot to ask of your community.
Are you finding that there are enough churches like this that are willing and able to house people for some amount of time?
There are not enough churches. We probably have about 12 active churches, and that might even be stretching it. These are Latino churches that are opening their doors. They are not wealthy churches. They do not have large congregations, and they are the people that have been the heroes in all of this. And we all are here to support them, and it's difficult because they are not being supported financially. They are not being supported by the government. They are not being supported by the community in terms of volunteers. So it has been incredibly challenging, and I can't imagine how these poor pastors are doing this night after night, day after day, week after week. I mean, it's just incredible.
So if you don't have enough space, enough churches, enough hotel rooms, enough host families, whatever, for all the people who are coming, where does ICE bring them?
ICE drops them off at the bus station. And this is an epic tragedy. We've got 200 or more people that are left at the bus station. They have no money. They have no resources, no language, no nothing. They often don't even have shoelaces, belts, jackets, and they are supposed to be heading back to their families. And they are being dropped at the bus station, and the bus station doesn't know what to do with them at that point.
What is your expectation for what the next few days will hold?
Boy, I can't even think that far ahead. We have been told by ICE that these numbers will continue through the end of April, possibly through the end of May. I will definitely tell you that day by day, it's literally about getting to about 11 o'clock at night. I can't even think much further than that, because every day is so overwhelming and we have such a need that thinking about tomorrow or the next day, it's too much to take on.
That was Jen, who's the executive director of All Hands AZ. Also in that office was the church's pastor, Brian. Like Jen, he requested we only use his first name and not name his church. He says his church started taking in asylum seekers on New Year's Day, and while it's looking to get into a regular routine, has so far only been responding on an emergency basis. I asked him why he decided to do this.
I got a call on Thursday night saying that there was an emergency, that there were people showing up, and there were no churches who were able to take people all weekend. And so we agreed to take 200 people on Friday, and then 80 people on Saturday, and 95 people on Sunday. We got 260 people on Friday, and a lot less support than we thought we would from other agencies, although we had amazing folks show up. And so we called ICE and said, we can't take people tomorrow on Saturday. And then we found out that 160 people were dropped off at the Greyhound station, and that the Greyhound station had threatened to call the police and to have people arrested for trespassing. And so we said, okay, bring them over. So today, hard no, can't take anybody else. And in the middle of our worship service, somebody came and said, 40 people just got dropped off at the Greyhound station. Can we take them? And unfortunately, it must have been the Spirit moving. I said, yes. We took them in, and then all day we agonized over the 120 who still got left. ICE did 4 drops today of 40 people each, and by the end of the day, we all looked at each other, and as tired as we were, we said, we can't leave 120 people at the Greyhound station with no support. Bring them. So they're all here.
So what does it do to your operations? I mean, you mentioned that somebody came in during your worship service on a Sunday morning and said, people just got dropped off at the Greyhound station. Like, I mean, you're not really set up to do this, are you?
No. In fact, this morning, our service, we usually have anywhere between 55 and 75 people on a Sunday. But today we set up and had probably close to 200 people packed in here, and more than half of them couldn't understand what I was saying. And so we got a translator to speak, and everything was shortened, but we finished the service quick, did communion, and said, now roll up your sleeves and everybody clean a bathroom. And so that's life around here. Unfortunately, we have the kind of congregation that's excited to be involved. But yeah, our church is not big enough to do this kind of thing in a way that isn't noticed. Everything is affected by this.
I mean, how do you try to make sure that, you know, your congregation stays sane and healthy and all that, while also, you know, as there's not necessarily enough support in the rest of the community? I mean, at what point do you really say, I'm really sorry, we just can't take anyone else?
Yeah, that's what we're wrestling with. I mean, all weekend we looked at each other and said, we can't do this anymore, and let's do it, because what else are we going to do? There will always be a need until ICE or the federal government or the state government or whomever decides to pick up this burden and not continue to drop it on the backs of volunteers. And just to be clear, I know sometimes we have these conversations about big ideas, and people assume that there's money behind this, that, you know, we're getting a check from the government or whatever. There's no money behind this. We spend money as we need to, and we collect donations as we need to. But this is all volunteers and donations that make this happen.
Looking ahead, I mean, do you anticipate continuing to do this as long as it's needed?
I hate to commit everybody else in my church to that, but yes, we've for years we've been talking about needing to do this, and finally on January 1st, we said there's nothing to it but to do it. So we jumped in, and it's messy, and I don't know that we know any better today how to do it than we did yesterday, but we're doing it.
What goes through your mind when you walk through your church and see people sleeping on cots and eating at tables and sort of milling around chatting with each other?
That's such a complicated set of feelings. I love seeing the church filled with folks and with kids, and knowing that people here needed a place to be and that we had space, and that's what the church should be. I mean, we had cots filling our sanctuary, and what is, I mean, a sanctuary? It's sanctuary for folks, and it's amazing. We also had cots filling what little fellowship hall we have, and we had cots filling our courtyard. And so at the end of a long day, when we've done everything we can and we still have people sleeping outside on cots, I was devastated that we couldn't do more for folks. I'm grateful that we can do what we can do, and I'm ashamed that we can't do more, and it's all very complicated.
That was Brian, the pastor at a Phoenix church, which housed around 200 asylum seekers last night and many more over the weekend. We've also reached out to both ICE and Greyhound for comment. In an email, an ICE spokesperson says, quote, over the weekend, we dropped off approximately 200 family units at the bus stop because the organizations we've been working with could not accommodate, end quote. We've not yet heard back from Greyhound.